Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Heather Uncensored.
Hi, everyone. I'm here alone today, and I've got a lot to get to. Sylvia and Ethel got tired of their dreams being strangled by SAG, that union's inability to protect their members, so we'll talk about that a bit later on. But what I want to talk to you today is about what most of these episodes are on. They're based on two of my books, Surviving a Viral Pandemic Through the Lens of a Naturopathic Medical Doctor and the upcoming Transforming Trauma, A Drugless and Creative Path to Healing PTS and ACE. So I wrote these books so that I could teach people how to grow their own strengths in understanding the human body and the mind. And that means that this podcast shows you the path to an empowered life. There have been so many lies in the last few years, of course, many, many more years too, but really focused in the last few years. So many people trying to control us, our bodies and our minds and our emotions, our hearts, our relationships. And they have been successful to a very large degree, which is very unfortunate because people don't understand what the truth is. And that's what I'm trying to get to you in this, because I would never tell you something that's not true. I've been in the health field for over 35 years, and if you count meditation, then I started meditating when I was 15. I only speak out when I know something is true or not true, and that people aren't understanding that. So few people understand the body, let alone the mind. So let me start with that, the most radical, the most loving, the most powerful activity you can do. And that is to learn about yourself, how to feed yourself, what's important, and that includes organic. Now, this podcast series is filled with information from very smart people that you should be listening to or reading about. And in this case, Dr. Stephanie Seneff, MIT scientist, who focuses on toxic substances like glyphosate and now deuterium. You can understand what's going on in the world and why organic is so important if you read her book, Toxic Legacy. Or you can listen to or read Dr. Joseph Pizzarno, who was the president at my school, Bastyr. He'll be on next week, but, you know, he's got lots of books. And you can go to buzzsprout.com and put in Dr. Heather Uncensored and go through all the doctors and scientists and activists who can share what they know so you can add that to your resources. Grow your knowledge, assert yourself, ask questions, get to the truth. Look around you. What do you want? Do you want love, closeness, happiness, laughter? But what about freedom to discuss, to go down rabbit holes without someone demeaning you? That's why every day when you wake up, consider who's there with you. What you can do to make this a better planet to live on. I mean, those moneyed scientists are just moneyed like Gates, what they are doing to our vision. I'm an old hippie. I built an eight-sided log house based on a Navajo design because I wanted to be close to nature. But I had to come out of the hills of Cape Breton in Nova Scotia because I wanted to help change people's perceptions, especially of a pill for every ill. So the first thing to do every morning is just to connect to your source, whatever that source is. It could have a religious focus, could have a focus of the light. But we have to realize that we are spiritual beings on a political mission now. Because if we don't wake up and change the world, we're going to destroy the beauty of this planet in so many different ways. Because life has become so distorted, it's become a herd mentality that we just follow along. We don't even think about why we are doing what we're doing. People are so afraid these days. So we need to dig into what our experience of life has been. I mean, this is talking about the personal and in the government. They're all based on a stuckness of a traumatic event. You know, I don't know Newsom's history or Trudeau, but their love of power and their inability to understand public policy has to stem from a hollow root inside themselves, something that happened to them so that they did not feel whole. They are not leaders. So we take this and we turn to ourselves and we see lineages, patterns. Every day we learn to better take care of ourselves. We read books like the Breggin's COVID-19. We read the real Anthony Fauci. We read Julie Panessa's Ethics. Or we watch Mickey Willis's Plandemic or Vaxxed 1 or 2. We stop making the same mistakes in our own families. We start prepping. We learning about health foods. We start foraging. We learn about medicinal plants. We have a homeopathic first aid kit. We trust in our bodies because we have to start going for truth. We can't let our illusions rule us. You know, Jung talked about like that we have these wolf-like tendencies and that people can get into a psychic epidemic. And people have called this time either mass formation, psychosis. And what's really true is we could discuss that, but it's like a mass ignorance. People just do not know what is right or wrong. Now, if you've ever taken care of your body, if you've ever gone and realized that allopathic medicine has not helped you, then you realize that there is another way to heal. So I've talked about a lot of different things. And one of the things I want to just talk more about is just don't let people take away your freedom. Right now, all the actors who don't want vaccinations are not being able to work. So I told you that about Ethel and Sylvie going back. They had come here for their dreams at the end of their life, their grandmothers now, and they wanted to have some roles, but they can't. And for what reason? The truth is forcing people to take an experimental vaccine and injection. First of all, it goes against the Nuremberg Code. And if you don't know what the Nuremberg Code is, it's really important. That happened after World War II, because the Nazis were injecting people and creating experiments. So this is actually completely illegal what they've done. So not only have they based it on untruth that we need these vaccines, but this alone is illegal. And you should have the choice to take it or not, uncoerced. Now, they say that the vaccine is FDA approved. What does that mean? Even if it was, it still doesn't mean anything. You can't tell people that you absolutely have to get an experimental gene therapy. And that is causing so many problems in the movie industry because so many people really, a lot of people don't care. Oh, I got the vaccine, no problem. Well, we need to care because at some point it's going to come out that this is what happened, and that this is a very bad union. The other problem is the whole thing about wearing a mask all day when you're working on a set. It's so bad for our health because there's all the bacteria gathers, and the bacteria gathers, but the virus, very easy to just go off. The virus can get through anything. Those masks, the cotton mask, not even cotton, the sort of tissue masks look like, you know, maxi pads or whatever, they're not completely sealed to our faces, so viruses can come in and out. So if you're healthy, you shouldn't be wearing that. And if you're unhealthy, you're sick, then you should be staying home. So I feel very concerned for my own self, because this is what I was planning on doing, is I wanted to get some roles after many years as a doctor, and it's just not possible. So there are many groups out there, and there are a lot of lawsuits. So I just want to mention that we need to start understanding who is our union, what is it that we can do, and to get involved. The other thing I wanted to mention is the fact that at this time, fear is just being used as a tool to scare us. And I want to read from this book, The Rape of the Mind, that was written in 1956 by Joost Mierlo, who's a Dutch psychiatrist. And this is chapter 9, Fear is a Tool of Terror. It's just going to read a couple of paragraphs here just to get you a sense of even way back then what people really understood after World War II. The fear of living. In our era, the fear, aroused by human relationships is so strong that inertia and mental death often seem more attractive than mental alertness and life. Classical psychology often spoke of the fear of death and the great unknown as the cause of many anxieties. But modern psychological studies have shown us that the fear of living is a much greater, deeper, and more frightening one. Living often seems beyond our power. Stepping out of a relatively safe childish dependence into freedom and responsibility is both hazardous and dangerous. Living demands activity and spontaneity, trial and error, sleeping and reawakening, competition and cooperation, adaptation and reorientation. Living involves manifold relationships, each of which has thousands of implications and complications. Living takes us away from the dream of being protected and demands that we expose our weaknesses and strengths daily to our fellow men and women, with all our hostilities, their hostilities, as well as their affections. It requires us to build up useful defenses and then to replace them with others because we have to change our goals and our relationships. It expects us to be lonely in order to cooperate in freedom. It asks us to submit and to conquer, to adjust and to rebel. It robs us of our childhood slumber of satisfaction and of the magic, omnipotent fantasies of our infancy. Living requires mutuality of giving and taking. Above all, to live is to love. You can find this, the rest of the chapter, on page 163 of The Rape of the Mind. We have to start thinking, even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes a day, even if it's only 5 minutes, even if it during your meditation just ask to be given the truth of what's going on around us. We're going to look back at this time in history. It may be the worst time ever in terms of the dangers that we face, the dangers for our liberty, our freedom, the joy of being with our grandchildren, the joy of being parents, the joy of growing food, the joy of just seeing the sunset. All of these things can be taken away. You can just look at even Dr. Simone Gould. She was just given 60 days. For what? Because she showed up the Capitol? These people who are in control are really making our lives a terror. And so many people that I know have blinders on. They haven't a clue of what's going on. They have no idea. They think that Justin Trudeau is just, you know, the cat's meow. This is our liberties. This is our sense of spontaneity, of living our life with joy, connecting with nature, connecting with each other. It's so important to understand this. And I've given you so many people to listen to who are really smart and really know what's going on. Just so many people on this podcast. I'm so grateful for them coming on. And now I want to talk to you about something else. I ended up getting COVID about 2 weeks ago. Now, I'd been out of town and I hadn't been around anybody who was sick, any human being that I knew was sick. I didn't even see anybody with sniffles, nothing. But what I did do was we were feeding the deer off the balcony of the condo. It may be that, or it may be on the ride home that I stopped at a rest stop. It's hard to know. But what was so interesting to me, I'd always wanted the experience of having COVID since I'm one of those unvaccinated rebels. And it did not disappoint, but it was surprising. I expected to just have, you know, because you can't tell the difference between COVID and the flu by the PCR test. Who knows if it was flu or was COVID, whatever. But what it felt like I had been injected with something that was tagging my neurological system. All through my head, the nerves were they were aflame. And it was very painful. I thought, this is so strange if this is supposed to be some type of virus. And it made me feel that whatever happened in that Wuhan lab that they have sent out to the world, that someone has to be responsible for. Fauci has given us such lies. Fauci, if you would read The Real Anthony Fauci, if you would read even AIDS Inc. by John Rappaport, these are books that will show you what a liar, what evil these people are. And so when I got sick, I thought, well, I knew what to do. One of the things I wanted to also tell you about, in case you get sick, is glutathione seems to be one of the things that can really help, because its precursor is NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Glutathione is one of the body's most potent antioxidants. And these are substances that reduce the oxidative stress by combating the free radicals in our body. So there are things that you can take to boost that up, because it's primarily made of three amino acids, glutamine, glycine, and cysteine. But there's a number of reasons why your body's glutathione level may become diminished, and that is from a poor diet, poor sleep, chronic disease, infection, and of course, stress. It also can decrease with age. So I immediately, as soon as my glutathione came, I didn't have any and I had to order it, I started to feel better. And you can see that there is a lot of research right now that you can see that glutathione is something that is really important. You know, COVID-19 patients have increased oxidative stress, oxidative damage, and glutathione deficiency. So that's one thing I just really wanted to talk to you about, is that that is a substance that you should have at home, as well as all the other things we talk about, which is vitamin D, vitamin C, and just eating, organically, making sure that you're not eating junk, making sure that you've got good fats for your brain. And in terms of glutathione, you can also increase your sulfur proteins, cruciferous vegetables, garlic, onions. Then there's also the beef and fish and poultry, if you eat that. And think about other things like the vitamin C, because vitamin C helps to get glutathione converted. It oxidizes it back to its active form. So you want to think about, eating things with, strawberries, oranges, grapefruit, kiwis, papayas, or just taking liposomal vitamin C. There's lots of other things you could find. It'll be in my book. But that is one thing that really is showing. People are really actually doing, studying it. So glutathione is something that you can make yourself feel better about. So how do you start? How do you start taking care of yourself? What kind of things do you need to do? Okay, so we talked about meditation. It's so important to meditate. It's so important to just feel that inner peace, something that feels really, really calm, really grounding, really soothing. Start with that. Envision your day. Ask to be given the information so that you can make your day something that will add to the planet instead of just, being all about ourselves. And we need to understand how important, breakfast is, how the nutrition is, that you stay hydrated. But really this episode is just these few minutes of it, is just to let you know that you are in charge. And there's so many ways that you can take charge, whether it's taking glutathione or offering it to someone. Or the other thing that happened for me too was, what worked really well was the homeopathic medicine, gelsemium. So, there's so many natural things that you can do when you get sick, but it's also the most important is to just boost yourself up when you're well, so that you can keep being well. Make sure that you exercise. Exercise will help increase the glutathione in your body. In any case, I'm really grateful to know what to take when I'm sick, and I never turn to Tylenol or anything like that, because I really feel it's so important that everybody knows how to do that. I mean, the first day or two, I had a fever of, 100.5 or something, and then that went away. But the neurological effects were so profound. This was not a normal virus. That's what I kept saying. This is not a normal virus. And what happened in Wuhan with the gain of function? And this is what we really need to explore. So we really need people who understand how important it is to keep digging, keep understanding what is and what should not be, and how do we go forward. Ralph Nader just wrote a really great short little piece about how students just don't, I think it's called College Students Strangely Oblivious to Endless Grip of Corporate Power. And this is terrifying. So I know there's a lot of high school students in Los Angeles, and there are college students who really get what's going on. And I just want to reach out to all of you to really try to influence the other students that you're around. Because, you know, when we were in the 60s and 70s, we had, you know, we were fighting for civil rights, we were fighting for the environment, anti-war, and people were actually fighting. Now people are getting locked up by talking about that. So we really need to encourage people to just embrace how important it is, all these things that we need to keep our liberties and our freedoms, and to learn about our health, because our health is really, if we can understand the human body and the human mind, then we can really stand in our power and say, this is what's true. I don't need to take all these other things. I need to understand about inflammatory pathways in the body, oxidative stress, and adjust my life for understanding maybe I have allergies. Maybe I've been eating crappy food. Maybe I'm always eating, you know, hamburger and french fries. I don't have the essential nutrients. And there are so many different there's a really good organization. There's Weston Price Foundation. And if you are a vegan, there's a lot of vegan organizations, but you have to get involved and you have to take responsibility for your own body. So that's what I wanted to say today, is that there are so many episodes on this podcast series, Dr. Heather Uncensored. I feel like people really need to be listening to this, really being able to, you know, have your own file about your health. What's worked? What hasn't worked? Do you understand what mucus is? Do you understand the importance of a fever? Do you understand that drugs are not going to help depression over the long term? You can read Robert Whitaker's book, Anatomy of an Epidemic. That's such a great book. I had a friend recently who was in bed for a few years because Kaiser gave her so many drugs and she finally died. She's one of the people I dedicate my work to, Ula, because she just was a yoga teacher. She came from Finland. She came to really teach people about health. She used to do great yoga classes. She wrote books. And then all of a sudden, these pills got to her brain. I just want to read to you the introduction from my upcoming book, Transforming Trauma, A Drugless and Creative Path to Healing, PTS and ACE. And that is coming out in September through Hammersmith Books in the UK. And it will be available, I think, in every bookstore. So let me just find that and just take a few minutes at least to read the first couple pages so you can get a sense of what it's about. And then the foreword was written by David Schlesch, who is the president of National University of Natural Medicine. I don't know if that's appropriate for me to read his foreword, but this is my introduction. Let us begin with a prayer to our ancestors, whether Celtic, Viking, African, Persian, First Nation, or Aboriginal, the lost tribes of Israel, and so many others. Earth, a pulsing orb of chaos in the 21st century, needs this ancient wisdom, reaped from the experience of thousands of years, more than ever, as its people are lost, struggling to make sense of it all, far from the natural laws it so keenly inhabits. I grew up in what had once been the small indigenous village of Hochelaga. Then in Eastern Canada, the Maritimes, I lived on land of the Mi'kmaq, and now in Los Angeles on that of the Chumash and Tongva, who lived in a kind of Eden, I acknowledge the Iroquois Confederacy of Nations, its great law of peace formed in 1722, a democratic creed to work together and respect each other that influenced the United States Constitution. We need that kind of coming together now to right so many wrongs, concepts that can pull us together to benefit how we relate to each other and take care of each other, hence this book. There are so many ways to be harmed, to experience a trauma that leaves a legacy of pain difficult to counter. Yet there are also many ways to heal from rape, childhood sexual abuse, bullying, drug overdoses, mass psychosis, intergenerational trauma, deadly shootings, war, natural disasters, and the myriad of tragic personal and public responses to COVID-19 that have erupted from the fear and panic of an entity unseen by the human eye. There are so many ways to heal naturally without resorting to pharmaceuticals with their many potentially harmful effects. And thank goodness for that, because the number of people suffering what is generally labeled PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, continues an upward trend with no end in sight in 2021. The number of suicides, particularly by teenagers, already at an increase of 35% from 1999 to 2018 in the U.S., rose 67% in England and Wales between 2010 and 2017. Ireland has the highest incidence in Europe, and suicide is the leading cause of death in younger people. First is Lithuania, then Estonia, Norway, and Finland, with Ireland fifth, all seemingly only more so during COVID-19. These statistics are enough to break even the most hardened heart. Yet, do the general public or public health officials have this knowledge? It is freely available and paid for by healthcare insurers? It would seem not, as our mental health care crisis is off the charts and the need for new ideas, even if they are old, and new paradigms has never been greater. This time, over 120 years since the Flexner Report, which supported allopathic medicine to the exclusion of all other approaches, must be a wake-up call to society for all disciplines to come together to fix this tragedy and achieve the results we all want without what often gets in the way of a new possibility, the need for safety within our own controlled area of expertise. Yes, these solutions may cause certain people trepidation, be outside a particular comfort zone, and what we may have studied as professionals. To get it right, ergo, we must address the problem head-on through the entire spectrum of medicine and healing, absent any skin or ego from the game, and include both the importance of science in trauma and the essential contribution of our inherent creative expression based on the mind-body connection. It is my belief that psychological trauma is a natural response to an adverse event, whether experienced or witnessed. Accordingly, you will notice that I shortened the term PTSD to PTS, dropping the D, siding with military vets who feel ostracized by calling a natural response a disorder. Second, by regarding PTS or ACE, adverse childhood experiences, and any accompanying condition from this more humane, wider perspective, we may establish naturopathic medicine and the expressive arts as essential modalities in trauma recovery by strengthening the body, mind, and allowing the pharmaceutical route to be circumvented. Both objectives are based on my 3 decades of experience in treating unresolved psychological trauma with a 2-pronged approach, balance the biochemistry naturally with homeopathy, botanicals, nutrition, and other drugless approaches, and tell or revise the underlying story through active expression from the realm of the arts. So that gives you a little taste. It's an introduction to the introduction of my book, Transforming Trauma. And I will be doing workshops and hopefully retreats in not too long. So you can email me at drheatherh@icloud.com if you're interested in that. So I just want to wish you a really great week, great month, a great year. We have to make this right. We have to get this right. We have to talk to people. We have to realize that there's so many great organizations out there, including PERK, P-E-R-K, you know, Children's Health Defense, Stand Up for Health Freedom, so many different organizations. It's really important for us all to get involved in one of them, to speak out, and also, so that's one, the community approach, and also to learn about your own healthcare, body and mind. Okay, everyone, I know this is really serious stuff, but got to start with the serious to get to the fun. Okay, take care. Lots of love to you all. Bye.